6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marchessault to the right. Big shot! Score! Shai Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shai Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Thursday game day. Game number 48 as your Vegas Golden Knights welcome the New York Islanders to T-Mobile Arena. Islanders coming in at 24-20-5, 53 points on the ledger. Your Vegas Golden Knights high atop the Western Conference, 32-11-4, 68 points. Clayton Hamilton here along with my good buddy Frank Harnish. Welcome, Frank.
How you doing, man? Getting excited for a game day, and I really hope that we can enjoy this one because then the All-Star break and then a six-game road trip. Weren't they just on a road trip?
just on a bye week. So we'll get right into the swing of hockey. Lots of games to come as the remainder of this year continues, February and March. Joined by Ryan, the hockey guy Wallace, who is out of practice today. Welcome in, Ryan.
How's it going?
It's going great. You ready for a game day?
Yes. Yes, that's the correct answer, right?
Right, like, yes.
The only answer that
the
you can
only
give?
Answer.
Yes.
Only answer is to be up for game
Stoked.
Day.
Stoked.
Stoked.
The scary Matt Barzal.
Yeah.
Yeah, scary player.
Scary player.
He
guy
is.
Pushing Brock Besser for Rookie of the Year honors. And we are welcome here today from AT&T Sportsnet. You see him on the TV side. Connor McGay, he hosts a pregame, postgame, intermission report along with a cast of motley characters that seems to change each and every game. You get new line mates.
You know, it's okay. You got to be flexible. You got to fit in on any line wherever coach puts you. You got to be able to play. How are you guys? Good?
We're doing good, but Lake Girard Gallant, we don't recognize lines here.
We're just a team. We're just a team.
We wanted to apologize that we didn't have a hair and makeup person on standby for you. And we wanted to thank you.
I do my own hair, and I try not to wear makeup. It worries me out. I don't even care if my forehead's shiny. That's fine.
Suggesting he needs hair and makeup?
No,
the guy's got
Clayton.
Great hair. What's going on
I'm
here?
I'm just saying. It's been a long
not
time.
Not as great as that beard. That's spectacular.
Well,
I appreciate you.
Sweet. I'm always in the playoffs. Always.
That's right. Well, you know how it goes on the TV side. You get better craft service than we do. So we apologize for the digs.
But you know what? I like radio guys. You know what I mean? I like you guys.
Nice. Good. Thanks, man.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, it's always good to talk to. We got a big game coming up tonight. New York Islanders. Mm. Last time that we saw them, a 6-3 loss back on All Hallows Eve, October 30th. That was the day that Oscar Dansk got hurt. That was the day Frank got hurt.
Yeah, it was kind of a dark day for me. I missed that game because they wouldn't allow me to watch it there in the ICU as they were ripping open my neck and trying to keep my head and my shoulders. But it was. I didn't see that one, but I hear there's a car in the Barclays Center.
Yeah, there is. Frank bounced back. And we hope that the Golden Knights will as well. Welcome to the Vegas Golden Knights game preview brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house. And as this game unfolds right before the All-Star break, both teams want to get a win to go into the break feeling good about themselves. Mm. What are you looking for tonight, Connor?
I'll tell you what. I would like to move one of these breaks because we've had three now in the last month. Can we move one of them to February? Honestly, like move one to February around the trade deadline or something like that because you had Christmas, then you had teams on bye weeks, and now you have the All-Star break. It's not as long as the other two. I'd like to move that to February, but I digress. Tonight, it's so tough because you have two teams that are virtually the same offensively. Vegas, number two in the league as far as goals per game. Islanders are number three. The advantage that Vegas has, though, is they have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's the best goaltender in the NHL. Goaltending issue for the New York Islanders has been an issue. They're not happy with Halak, not happy with Thomas Greiss. And Gar Snow, former goaltender himself, national champion with the Maine Black Bears. Remember that team, 93 Maine Black Bears? He thought that his goaltending situation was going to work better than it has, and it really hasn't. But despite that fact, Islanders are still just, they're pushing that wild card spot in the East. So I look for something similar to Tuesday because Columbus was not a bad team. Everyone almost forgets about the Columbus Blue Jackets, right? They're almost one of the forgotten teams in the NHL. But it'll be similar today. It'll be a shootout, but I don't, as good as the Islanders are, they cannot compete with the speed of Vegas because Vegas is ridiculously fast.
And to your point about it being a shootout, at least yesterday at the books around town, 7 was the number on the over-under for goals. That'd be the first time that there's been a 7 posted on a Vegas board since April of 2003, if that holds. So at least the guys around town expecting a lot of goals tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this one's destined to be 1-0, 2-1 game, right? Obviously, right? Because what do we say? What do we say when Niemi got the start a couple of days ago? Yeah. We said it was guaranteed loss, and he wins.
What did we say the last game when we were talking in the pregame? We're like, well, it's Marc-Andre Fleury and Sergei Bobrovsky, so it's probably going to be a real tight-knit one goal game. And then we kind of jokingly said, yeah, it'd probably be like 6-4, 6-5, and that's darn near what it was.
6-3. But, yeah, right, I mean, 100%. Every time you think, you know, which, look, we don't know what we're talking about. Or we do. I mean, out there. We all totally know what we're talking about, but it always goes the opposite direction.
Sometimes the crystal ball comes in a little fuzzy.
Exactly.
You know, it is winter.
It is winter, right. Just a little fogged up.
A little snow in the crystal ball, you know.
If I'm being honest, when I look at this game, the advantage for the Golden Knights to me is really on defense. And I say that knowing that they've got some injuries going on. But when you can recall Jason Garrison,
right?
Like that's insane.
He's a $4.6 million player playing in the AHL and a longtime NHL veteran. Tampa, Florida, Vancouver Canucks. That's not a bad situation to be in if you're George McPhee.
No, talk about depth. Not. Absolutely not. And while I think that the Islanders have a very balanced approach up front and their forwards are very, very good. Obviously, we asked Turk about Matt Barzal and he went on. He was gushing about this guy. And what's interesting about Barzal is he opens up more time and space for Tavares in his line. So it's a dual attack, and you throw in Jordan Eberle. He's had a fantastic year so far for the Islanders.
I think Edmonton misses him.
Oh, geez. They miss a lot of guys. But the best part about it is I think the advantage is clearly with the Golden Knights and their defense, and it's going to benefit and play into the Golden Knights' hands when they're trying to get in on the forecheck and they're trying to force those errors. Because you look up and down the defensive pairings for the Islanders, there aren't great puck movers there. There really aren't.
No.
So their decisions are going to have to be really, really quick. And if the Golden Knights are playing on their game, they're going to force those defensive pairs into a lot of mistakes.
You mentioned Jason Garrison. He will draw into the lineup tonight. Braden McNabb still dinged up. He's been playing exclusively with Nate Schmidt for the past handful of games. And Ryan and Chris Chapman had the opportunity to hook up with Nate Schmidt and ask him who he was going to play with. You know, we don't have that audio. Well, we can ask you, Ryan. You were there.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell me.
He wouldn't tell you.
He had a little fun with me, which is fine because, you know, I've had some fun with Nate Schmidt in the past, so it's good. But no, he said that he wasn't sure who he was going to play with, but it doesn't really affect too much preparation-wise. It affects what you do in the game. It's kind of an on-the-job. You learn to play with somebody as you're going through the motions while you're playing with them. I think it was more tongue-in-cheek because he knew he was going to play with Garrison.
Yeah.
They got a little bit of time in this morning, which should be fine. But we've seen Nate Schmidt be able to play with pretty much anybody out there on the defensive end, and he's done very well. He's played really well with McNabb. He played really well with Spezza. So I'm not worried about Nate Schmidt as long as he goes out there and can focus on being Nate Schmidt. And he's got Jason Garrison now with him who can maybe be a little bit more of a safety valve, and Nate Schmidt can actually jump in and activate more
especially
on the rush.
Garrison may not have the legs that Nate Schmidt has, right?
Exactly.
And Jason would probably be one of the first guys to tell you that, you know, things have slowed down, and that happens, right? So he'll be more reserved, and Nate Schmidt, like you said, can go out and be number 88.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it's interesting, too. I think another thing that does not bode well for the Islanders, although they won the last game, Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't that happy with his performance.
No.
He did not like giving up 3 goals. When we were at City National Arena yesterday, I was watching him intently. He went through one stretch where he gave up 3 goals in a row to the guys coming in on the breakaways and working the stuff. He took his stick and he threw it up. That's about the angriest I've seen him. He kind of went over in the corner, regrouped himself, went back in, made a couple of spectacular saves, like about 5 or 6 in a row. Even the rebounds when the guys kind of pushed him in, he wasn't letting him do that either. He was not. And he'll be the first to tell you every game that you can always improve. You're always getting better in that. I think he's going to have an excellent performance tonight because I think he's mad at himself for the last game.
But isn't it funny, goaltenders, those short memories? Like, even in that little span of time, he lets in three, says, okay, wipe the slate clean, and now he's back to making big, you know, five or six saves in a row. And that's honestly why he's composed and the best goaltender in the NHL right now.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Clayton Hamilton, along with Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet. Now, as you dive in and start looking at all the video and reviewing games, we've seen a power play that has started to become successful. The players, Turk, they all say nothing's really changed, just the puck has gone in the net. Do you agree or disagree with the coach's assessment?
100% agree, because you look at that game in Nashville, right? If UC Saros doesn't have a 43-save epic performance, Vegas wins that game in Nashville.
And Watson with the biggest save of the game.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. The kick, I totally forgot about that. Good call, Frank. But if those things don't happen, even on the man advantage, Vegas was really good. So you need a little bit of puck luck, and they finally got that in Carolina. When opposing goaltender's having a rough night, you got to smell that out and make it count, and they did. And then it happened again against Bobrovsky on Tuesday. And so things haven't changed. I think the puck's just going in the net, and it's bound to happen either way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I thought the power play was taking away momentum in the Edmonton game.
Yeah.
And you'd never want to see that. At least from that point forward, they started to get more looks. They started to get a little bit more dangerous. Colin Miller getting some goals, though, that's definitely going to help, because now you're going to have to focus on him as the shooter.
And they're both the exact same goal, weren't they?
Yeah. And now if he's that threat to get the puck through from the blue line, it's going to open up passing lanes, going to open up different things that they can do. So really, I think they've simplified things a lot. They've gotten through. They got the goals. Now it's just about being consistent, which is what we've been talking about the last couple of shows. Is you're not going to score every time. It's fine, but if you can chip in one power play goal every five or six opportunities, that's what you want to see. You don't want to see those stretches where they go 1-for-28 or 0-for-10 in two games and lose 2-1 goal games that they were the better team in.
And not only Colin Miller getting those two goals, but also Brad Hunt getting his first goal. Now he's going to be a little bit more confident teeing it up there from the blue line as well. And now that the defensemen are a little bit more willing to shoot, and maybe they're not always being the unselfish guy and trying to find that extra pass. Being unselfish is great, except for when you take away opportunities for yourself. Knowing that guys are ready to tee it up and just blast it at the net, now the other guys know that they can just bust in with everything hell-bent to score, and if the goalie does make a save, he better not leave a rebound or they're there to knock it in. And I like that mentality, because you have the extra man out there for a reason. Use that. Crash the net. Do everything else there. Let your defenseman tee it up. But find the right lane like they've been doing recently. Don't have those.
Right.
A lot of times we see Vegas have a lot of shots blocked against them. You do have to find the right alley, but if you have it, tee it up and fire it, and then let those big bodies go in there and smash it in.
Yeah, and there is such a thing as too cute, right? And when power plays are struggling, you're looking for that perfect play, that pass, back door, wide open net. That doesn't always happen, right? So, like you said, don't find the perfect opportunity. Find a good opportunity, and better things will happen after that.
Yeah, trust me, I've been watching a lot of Blackhawk games lately because I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
Their power play, it's the powerless play.
Right.
They have been completely turned off. The grid is shut down, and all anybody does is look at Patrick Kane and everybody else standing around going,
sure,
what's Patrick Kane going to do?
Right.
He's not going to beat us. We're not going to let him, and nobody else comes close to it.
Right.
And we saw that with Brendan Leipzig in the Columbus game, where they had a few too many passes on the on the odd man rush, turned into an odd man rush the other direction, and really it was a two-goal swing.
Right, and Leipzig's one of those guys who he works so hard, right? He's just been a little bit unlucky, and I feel like when he was out for those three games, they kind of missed him a little bit. They missed that energy, and he comes back in, and he's had some opportunities. Well, he will tell you that he should have had them, right, including that one in Columbus. But especially on the man advantage, if stuff like that is not going in, that makes it go three steps back in the opposite direction.
Got the New York Islanders coming into town tonight. We're going to have some tickets later on to give away, so stick close to your phone. We're going to give those coming up here shortly. But as the Islanders come into town, there's been lots and lots of rumors surrounding John Tavares. Is he going to be there all season? Is he coming here? Lots of folks have said that on the Twitter sphere.
Who said that?
It's the same people that said Jaromir Jagr was coming here. But
aren't you glad Jaromir Jagr didn't come here?
Absolutely, but a lot of people saying, hey, maybe John Tavares, maybe come here for the end of the year. Maybe he's the kind of guy that wants to come here when his free agent days begin. Thoughts on those rumors?
Yeah, John Tavares isn't coming here. Come on, let's be real.
So John, they're not selling his jersey tonight in the Arsenal?
No, they're not.
I thought they were unveiling it this evening.
I saw it on Twitter, Ryan. The Twitter machine doesn't lie.
It must be gospel.
Yeah, no, you're right. On Twitter, everybody thought Andrew Cogliano shouldn't have been suspended, so there's that, you know? Don't believe everything you read on Twitter. That's rule number one. Rule number two is John Tavares, if he's going to go anywhere, I think he's going to go back home. I don't think he's coming to Vegas. Wait, I think
isn't it interesting when they unveil the plans for the new building at Belmont?
Yep.
He's right there. Now, I know there's nothing on paper for John Tavares, and they need to get something done before July, but maybe that was step wherever three or four in the process of getting him re-signed. When they unveil a new building like that, which is needed for the New York Islanders because Barclays Center is not a hockey building, when you're unveiling those plans, I mean, yes, You could not have anybody there, right? You could have an owner, whoever, Garth Snow, somebody. But the fact that they had Tavares there, does that speak a little bit more to the fact that, yes, he's probably going to stay? Because he wants to stay.
Yeah, I think that definitely is going to help because I don't think he likes playing at Barclays. I don't think that he wants
that
to be.
Well, nobody does. It's a long haul from everyone who's used to playing at Nassau.
Yeah, and so what I think really is going to be determined for John Tavares is looking at what happened this year, going out and getting Jordan Eberle, because what's happened in the past with John Tavares is he's found chemistry with players like Kyle Okposo, just to name one, and whenever it comes to money, whenever it comes to a contract extension for a guy that Tavares has chemistry with, he walks. Not he walks, the Islanders organization, their general manager lets him walk. And for Tavares, I think it's frustrating because there have been plenty of talented players that he's lined up with that could have started the momentum going in the right direction 3 and 4 years ago. So while Tavares is in his prime, he can challenge for the Stanley Cup. Matt Barzal, I think, is going to be a big piece. Jordan Eberle going out there, getting him, bringing him in, trying to improve the roster is going to be a big piece. But they need to figure out what they're doing on defense. Because I look at this defense, even if they get into the playoffs, they're not going to do anything.
Right.
Because their defense is so bad.
Yeah.
So management's going to have to go out there, whether it be free agency, whether it be picking the right prospects and bringing them along, they have to have a plan for getting into the playoffs and being consistent for John Tavares to stay.
Yeah.
When you look at the young players, you mentioned Matt Barzal. What makes him so special? What makes him part of the conversation when Brock Besser has been the leader in the clubhouse for Rookie of the Year, but he's sneaking up?
Barzal's just a magician. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. He's a fast player. He can almost slow the game down around him. Like, he operates at full speed, but everyone else seems to just be a half a step behind. And he's mesmerizing with the puck. And it's not just when he has the puck. It's how he draws coverage to him, how he finds the right guy. I mean, this is a guy that's had 3 5-point nights as a rookie. It's insane.
Yeah.
He's a
There's only been 8 players in the league this year with 5-point nights.
He's had two of the games.
Yeah.
And he just seems to be the next big guy that's going to be able to fill that spot and complement Tavares and give them two balanced lines that can score.
You know what's interesting too is, like, usually when guys are draft picks as defensemen, going back to junior usually benefits them more. You see a lot more forwards just stay up in the NHL. Barzal played one game in last year against the Caps, I think, and then went back down to Seattle in the WHL. He's the playoff MVP, most valuable player, and it's like then everything that we knew that he had, everything just sort of turned on and went to the next level. So then he comes back on that confidence with that skill set, a little, you know, extra more physique as well, and applies all that. So it was interesting to me because forwards, usually you can throw somebody in at 17, 18 years old and they can go and go. Usually it's the defensemen who usually go back. But for him to go back that extra year in the dub and then come back did leaps and bounds for Matthew Barzal.
Yeah, and you send him back to be the player you want him to be, a scoring player, a scoring forward, a top six guy. You have him up on the lineup last year. What is he, a third line, fourth line guy? Gets 8 minutes a night, doesn't develop the confidence. That can set a guy up for failure for the rest of his career. So I think the extra year in junior definitely helped him out for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like yesterday when we were talking to the coach from Owen Sound about Nick Suzuki and that. And it's like, no, we're not asking him to do this or that. He wanted him to improve in every part of his game. But this will be his role, and this is what we're weaning him to be in the pros as well. But when it comes to Tavares, and you're talking about him being a free agent and Barzal and things like that, how much of it is Tavares? Do you think Tavares has told his agent, all right, these are the teams I'm interested in, but this is where I want to stay? Or because sometimes an agent's just going to go, who's throwing the most money our way?
Sure.
And, you know, and maybe he does talk to people. And yeah, maybe Vegas is a long shot. Maybe there's no shot at all that he comes out here. But he knows other guys around the league, and maybe he talks to a couple of the guys and some of his friends. If he's friends with a James Neal or David Perron or somebody who's been in the league a while, and they say, you know, this really is a sweet gig out here, maybe somebody else puts a bug in his ear that does make another team or another city a little bit more enticing than they would have been beforehand.
You know, the thing with Tavares, though, is he doesn't seem like a total money chaser. You know what I mean? He seems like a guy who is going to get what he's worth, which is a top NHL player.
And right? a lot of hockey players are like that, unlike a lot of the other 100%, sports.
Absolutely, 100%. But he seems like the guy who, you know, soft-spoken, you know, leads by example, that type guy. And I'm not saying he would take a hometown discount to stay in New York, but he would take a hometown discount to stay there. He would just have to be in that range of, you know, because the Islanders are the only team that can offer him 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be term on the contract that's going to be the thing for him. So if he gets 8 years at an acceptable number, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Just don't disrespect me, basically.
Yeah, right, exactly. Give me something respectable as a top producer in this league.
And do you see him going the Tom Brady, LeBron James route where he says, you know what, maybe let's work the contract out so we can go and get me some help, get me, and I'll stay, but go and get me this guy and that guy?
The only thing that I would say is, where's the help been while he's been very affordable now? And it's the Erik Karlsson
first
thing.
Over, 9 years in the league now. Yeah. He's a first overall pick in 2009. Gar Snow has had time to put people around him, and that's, you know, that's, I'm sure, frustrating for him. So the fact that, it hasn't made a bigger stink up until this point.
Right.
Because things are really good for the Islanders right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not in a playoff spot, but they're in the conversation. Him and Lee are, you know, top in points and goals and everything, as well as Josh Bailey. So things have been worse in the past decade for the New York Islanders.
And let's be honest about it, too. The other unknown factor in all of this is nobody knows exactly where the salary cap is going to go.
Mm.
How much money is going to be there for
every
team.
It will go up.
There's speculation, but nobody knows for sure where it's going to land.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing with Tavares, because I would look at Gar Snow and I'd say, what have you done in the 9 years I've been here? Like, it's nice that you're winning games and you're about a 500 team, but to me, that's the worst thing, because either you tank, you get better through the draft, and then you start to add pieces when you need to, or you get into the playoffs every single year and you're a perennial contender. The Islanders are neither. They're just right in the middle of being mediocre.
Right.
And it's kind of the same scenario that Erik Karlsson's faced with right now. He is a very, very affordable defenseman, and nothing's been put around him in order to take care of him in his prime. So if I'm Erik Karlsson, when my contract comes up, I'm not taking a hometown discount, because what have you done?
Right. And you've already gone public with that after
that
whole Drew Doughty, Erik Karlsson thing within a couple days. I wouldn't mind having two Karlssons on this team, not going to lie.
That would be fun indeed. We're going to see the New York Islanders tonight, 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock for the puck drop, and we have got tickets to give away. We are going to give them away right now, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Connor, you're our guest.
Mm.
Pick a number, lucky number.
Lucky number 20. You know why it's 20?
Why 20?
A win tonight would be home win number 20 for the Vegas Golden Knights.
And they're 33rd for the season.
For the season. Lucky
Crazy.
Number 20. You're going to the New York Islanders Vegas Golden Knights tonight, 702-876-1340. When we come back, we're going to take a look around the league at all the things happening with the other teams. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, game day. New York Islanders coming to town. 6:30 pregame show. Frank and I will be on the concourse outside section 212, 213. If you're in the neighborhood, swing on by. We'll have the intermission report and the postgame show as well. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace joining us, as is Connor McGahee. You can catch him on AT&T Sportsnet. Pregame show, intermission report, postgame as well. It's been fun having you in here.
Oh, man, this is a total blast. I mean, if you can talk hockey for a straight hour, that's awesome. And you don't really see that anywhere else. This is unique, and this is great. So Anytime you want, boys.
And we only talk it for an hour because they wouldn't give us two.
They wouldn't
right,
give us
exactly.
Two.
Hey, one of these days, playoffs, we'll do 2 hours
yeah,
show.
Yeah, every day. We got an hour and a half postgame show, so, you know, and we got an hour after you guys wrap
right,
up. Just swing
exactly.
on by. We're down at Toshiba Plaza.
I tapped you on the shoulder the other day at Beer House.
We'll get you a headset. Yeah. Sit on down.
I'll just jump on it.
Yeah.
Love
good times. Well, we do have some things to look at around the league. We will start with the Blue Jackets, who just left town. They have activated forward Cam Atkinson from injured reserve, which makes him eligible to return to the team's lineup this evening when they face the Coyotes.
Did they sign Nathan Gerby too? Sorry. Did I miss that? Because there was a waiver. Gerby was on waivers. I thought that Columbus signed him. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought that they claimed him, but I haven't really heard much else
neither have I.
On Gerby.
I mean, Gerby's been underwhelming, you know, obviously, in the NHL, but Atkinson's going to mean a lot more.
He's going to have to score some goals, and they need it in a bad way, because whenever you rely on a Vezina goalie to be a Vezina goalie 72 times a year, you're not going to win games if you can't score goals, and they're going to need to score goals, and Cam Atkinson's a big, big piece of that.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they're the only two on Columbus that don't have the Vegas flu?
Frank, there's no such thing.
There's no, it is.
Okay, I'll just check it. I read it on the Twitter.
Yeah, you read it on the Twitter.
Must be true.
Carrot juice.
There you get it.
It's all carrot juice.
Right. Cam,
I love Torts, man. Torts is the best.
He's awesome.
And I actually like what he said, too, because you know what? There is something to be said for teams who come to a place like this. If you're going to sacrifice a road game, which you may lose anyhow, it may go a long way for your team bonding and sort of your team chemistry to have a night or an event like that. You know what I mean? So that's why I kind of like what Tort said.
I like Foligno even more.
Yeah. Foligno was good. But I like William Karlsson, who we saw the next day drinking a smoothie, and I asked what he was drinking, and he said, my agent makes me drink this.
Yeah.
So I love it. Taking more shots even after they're out of town. Like, you got to win and they're out of town and you're still
so
firing.
Subtle too. So subtle. Well
love
done.
It.
You know what?
Well
he needs to work a deal though and have that be the Karlsson hat trick smoothie.
Right. Yes. He certainly.
I thought he was going to get another one the other night.
Yeah.
Instead, we got the rare empty net power play goal. Mm-hmm. That never happens.
Could have had four. Other news. Florida Panthers goaltender James Reimer will be out at least 2 weeks with a groin injury. He had injured his right leg extending to make a save, and boy, we have seen that before here in the first period against the Dallas Stars on Tuesday.
We were actually watching that when it happened. Sorry, Ryan.
No, you're good.
We were watching that when it happened, and as soon as it happened, because we were doing prep for the Golden Knights game that night, and I looked at you and I said, it looked exactly like Luongo's injury for Florida. He just stretched out trying to make a save, and he just went down face first, and as soon as I was like, he just pulled his groin.
Yeah, I know that we should feel bad, but we've had our fair share of goalie issues. So
No one talked to us about goaltender injuries.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Plus, it's Florida. What they did to Turk, whatever karma you have, you brought it on yourself.
Hey, they're the team of the Caribbean. They said so themselves. Chicago Blackhawks goalie Corey Crawford has been out since December 27th with an upper body injury. Head coach Joel Quenneville said there is a chance that he could be back on the ice soon. He said, I think he's getting closer. He was in today. He had a good workout and is feeling much better. When we get him on the ice soon, we'll get a better assessment of when he'll be ready.
What that reads to me is there's a chance Corey Crawford might save my job, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, and it's also interesting because they said he was suffering from vertigo, which I had, and that definitely is no joke. But they also said last night on NHL Network, because I surf around and check a lot of stuff, they said that right now the NHL is kind of looking at it. They wanted to pass some concussion protocol because they think that might be the problem.
Yeah.
Because when you're falling down all the time, well, there's probably a reason for it.
Right. And Chicago, look. You said it at the beginning of the season, Frank, as we were just talking about off air. Chicago, I don't think, is going to make the playoffs. And part of the reason is you need a goaltender like Corey Crawford. You need him all the time. You need him to play well. And they just don't have the cap space, the assets to go out and get some goaltending help. You know, so Corey Crawford coming back will help, but I don't think it may be too little too late for Chicago.
And it makes them feel any better that they were like, oh, if we only had Scott Darling not been great. So maybe they
Scott Darling is showing why he was a backup.
Mm. Calgary Flames goaltender Mike Smith has been added to the All-Star roster. He will replace Kings goaltender Jonathan Quick, who has been diagnosed with a minor injury.
Minor injury. We're not even doing upper or lower body anymore. We've now digressed to just minor and major.
Minor injury, but good to
good for you, Mike Smith. A lot of questions with him going up there.
But what a warrior he's been, right? So there's two types of goaltenders, right? There's like the Marc-Andre Fleury type goaltender, very soft-spoken and leading that way. And then there's Mike Smith, who's a little more fire and brimstone, like Bridgestone. Brought to you by Bridgestone Tires. Fire and brimstone, that's the word I was searching for. And just sort of more like a leader, you know, as far as how he talks, how he acts, how he plays, you know what I mean? And that's actually helped Calgary a lot. And that's exactly what Brad Treliving needed in the offseason. He's been spectacular, and I'm sure he might have been a little bit happy to get out of Arizona.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And see, the greatest thing about Mike Smith is you say fire and brimstone and leader. I think he's a lunatic, and yeah. I love it. Because right. And so it was funny because I was watching the game last night, the Calgary-Los Angeles game, and Kelly Rudy was on the call for the Calgary Flames. And the greatest thing ever when they were talking about Mike Smith being named an all-star over in place of Jonathan Quick, Kelly Rudy was just like, I don't understand why he just didn't get it in the first place. He's been so good and this, that, the other thing. And I love the dynamic of that because Kelly Rudy, obviously very well known for being a Los Angeles Kings goaltender, and he was just throwing all the shade that he absolutely could at Jonathan Quick. I loved it. I want to see, although these are like the two goalies I want to see fight. Like, yes. I would love so much to see Jonathan Quick and Mike Smith just sprint to center ice, throw their gloves down, rip their helmets off, and just beat the crap out of each other.
Osgood-Waugh style, right?
Yeah, like, no,
just
absolutely.
Get after it.
Like, is there any other guy outside of Mike Smith that could face off with Jonathan Quick and is equally as crazy? I don't think there is.
No, probably not.
By the way, you guys mock the minor injury. Paper cuts hurt.
Yes.
Especially when you get lemon juice in there.
They
He's probably taping his stick.
Wait,
and got cut.
Legitimate question. Which is worse, a minor injury or an undisclosed injury?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Well, at least with the minor injury, you know it's minor, the undisclosed. You don't know how major or minor it is. We will get to see those Calgary Flames on a Tuesday, the 30th. We go up to
last
Calgary.
Last team that Vegas has yet to play,
for
right?
The first time. Philadelphia.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Philly.
Philadelphia. Sorry. Philly's the other one.
And we're going to have Wes Gilbertson from the Calgary Herald with us next Tuesday. So join in for that. And Mike Smith will get to exchange pleasantries All-Star Weekend with Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins, who will be allowed to play in the All-Star game. For those of you who may have missed it, Marchand was suspended by the NHL's Department of Player Safety on Wednesday for elbowing New Jersey forward Marcus Johansson. And he will be allowed to compete in the All-Star game. He has been suspended 6 times for a total of 19 games in his NHL career. However, NHL rules do not prohibit someone under league suspension from playing in the All-Star game. He was selected to play in the Atlantic Division. So here are a couple of questions for you guys, and I will let you have at it. We saw Andrew Cogliano suspended 2 games for an elbow to the head. We've now seen Brad Marchand suspended 5 games for an elbow to the head. What are your thoughts on the play, the suspension, and the participation in the All-Star game?
There was absolutely no reason for Brad Marchand to elbow Marcus Johansson in the face. And more to the point, there was no reason for him to launch himself into the elbow, which is what he did. And I don't understand where the disconnect is with Brad Marchand, because when he's not being a complete jackass on the ice,
he's a top player.
He is a top elite NHL player. But the problem is, I don't think you can be a top elite NHL player if you're constantly putting your team in a horrible position to play without you because you just can't help yourself.
He doesn't need to be that guy at all.
No, not like
it's like he reverts back to the fact that he has to be this just burr in the saddle for everybody, yeah. And he doesn't have to be. If he just goes out and plays, look, he plays. If you're playing against him, that's an annoying style of hockey without him doing all the extracurriculars. Just the way he plays the game is effective. Mm-hmm. It frustrates everybody else, and he doesn't need that third tier of everything. You know, he could be an all-star. He could be leading the scorers race. I mean, if you're on a line with Patrice Bergeron, you got life made in the sun. You're in good shape.
Right.
You don't need this extra stuff.
Right, and it's so funny because you're right. It's almost like he reverts back. Like, things are going too well for Brad Marchand. Like, he's scoring
Something is missing in my life.
He's scoring too many goals. He's racking up the points, and he's just like, you know what? I just got to slew foot a guy. Like, just to feel like myself again. It's almost like he doesn't know who he is. And it just blows my mind that he has to do these things that he so clearly doesn't need to do.
When you look at the suspension of five games, there are those that say it is not enough given the amount of suspensions and the times he's been in the principal's office in the past, Frank. There are Boston apologists who say, well, why does he get five games when Andrew Cogliano got two? They were not able to give him a longer suspension than five games because any suspension given out of six games or more has to happen when there is an in-player interview and investigation. The NHL declined to have an in-player interview, so they went into this knowing that they could only give him five games or less. What are your thoughts on that, Frank?
Well, there's some people that think that that's the reason. They said that they watched the video hundreds of times. And then they still chose not to have that. So they didn't want to give him more games than that. And you could almost believe what he said because it sounds sincere if you just read it. I've been trying to play a certain way for a while now, and it was never my intent to get into a situation like this and to injure Marcus. Hopefully he has a full, healthy recovery very quickly. I let my teammates down. I know that, and I let my organization down. So I have to be better. There's no question. End of quote. You could maybe buy that if this wasn't his sixth suspension for different things he's done. He's also been fined three times. When you have been reprimanded by the league 10 times, when your reprimands, your fines, and suspensions are double digits, all of a sudden it kind of sounds a little more hollow to me.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you make a guy like that actually get the message, right? So what's effective? I mean, you're not obviously he didn't attack an official or something, so mm-hmm. It's not going to be a 25-game suspension. But there has to be something else that gets the message across to Brad because, like you said, 10 times that you've been in the principal's office, like that's almost unheard of in today's NHL.
What if they made it something as simple as you have a five-game suspension that starts when the person that you gave the concussion protocol right. to comes back? Why should he list possibly fewer games than the guy that he injured?
Yeah.
The other team suffers more than Boston.
Sure.
Yeah, that all went down the drain with Todd Bertuzzi. Yeah. Like, let's just be honest.
Steve Moore incident.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, now it comes to the question of the All-Star game because it happened Wednesday. The suspension was levied. He is allowed to participate in the All-Star game. People losing their minds about that. What are your thoughts on should he be able to participate in the All-Star game while suspended?
Yeah, I don't care if it's in the rule book. I think it's gutless to have him there. Like, I don't think it's the right call by a league that has so many concussion issues to celebrate a guy's talent just because he was very good, even though there's this aspect of his game and there's a guy sitting on a couch suffering from a concussion because of a bonehead play that he made.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Well, the question then becomes, what if this had happened in late October and he had served his five-game suspension and was now not suspended when the All-Star game comes, if you would preclude him from being in the All-Star game simply because of the timing? What say you to that argument? Because that tends to be the other flip side of it is to say, well, it wouldn't have mattered if it was in October. Should that be factored in? And I said, I don't know the right answer, but should it be factored in or no?
I think that if you're looking at Brad Marchand and you've got three games to the All-Star game, that play wasn't a reactionary thing. It was very simple. Brad Marchand saw Marcus Johansson coming in a vulnerable position, and he launched an elbow at his head. That was a choice that he made. So, I don't care what the timing is. If it happened in October and he served his suspension and he was still an All-Star, I don't have any problem with it. But the fact that it happened right now and that he would have been that he is suspended over the duration of All-Star weekend, I don't think he should be in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think we should pretend that Brad Marchand is this saint of a player and ooh and ah over what he does in 3-on-3. Imagine if he wins MVP of the tournament. It's a joke.
Right.
It's an absolute joke. And the fact that he is losing money but has the chance to win money over this weekend is ridiculous.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Chance to win $1 million.
And it sends the absolute wrong message about player safety.
Yeah.
And it's so far in line with all the people that came out and said, Andrew Cogliano shouldn't be suspended. We should turn a blind eye to an illegal hit to the head because of an Iron Man streak. Well, we should turn a blind eye to what Brad Marchand's doing because he's an All-Star. It's wrong. It's wrong. Sidney Crosby lost 2.5 years of his prime because of concussions, because of hits to the head. And the NHL has proven time and again, they still don't care.
Mark Savard
just had to call it quits, right? He's a Boston Bruin, played with Brad Marchand. So if that doesn't hit close enough to home, I don't know what does.
And we're talking about hitting home with Marc-Andre Fleury this year, having his fourth concussion in his career.
And you bring up Mark Savard, and we're talking about, you know, Brad Marchand suspended six times. What's the difference between him and Matt Cook?
Right.
Brad Marchand can score goals, so we put up with it. We tolerate it. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
By the way, if that hit happened in a on a football field, that would be targeting. Mm-hmm. Because he clearly went after him. This stuff about saying he was protecting himself and defending himself, BS.
Right.
Watch the film. Watch the guy slows down. He misses his shot, and then he goes directly after him and hits him high. If that happens in football to a quarterback, a wide receiver, something like that, it's targeting, he's thrown out of the game, there's a fine and all sorts of other stuff. If it's illegal on the gridiron, it's got to be a bigger fine, especially when it's your 10th offense in the NHL.
Right, it certainly should be taken into account. Good stuff, guys. Don't know if we'll solve all of this tonight, but the debate being started is
a good
place.
Ryan's got it figured out.
Ryan has it all settled down. Game night tonight, game number 48, New York Islanders at the Vegas Golden Knights. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. When we come back, we're going to go to Connecticut to talk about one of the great franchises in the history of the National Hockey League. Stick with us. Frank's got a cool story on that. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show wrapping it up on a game day. Islanders and the Golden Knights getting after it tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show, intermission report, and your postgame show as well right here on Fox Sports, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet joining us. And Frank, we're going to go all the way to the heart of hockey, to Central Connecticut, to a story about the old Whalers.
No, to the Hartford of hockey, actually, to be exact. remember, and a lot of people were upset
ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him.
A lot of people were upset when the Blackhawks rated the number one jersey a while ago. Well, right behind them was the Hartford Whaler jersey, and although the Whalers have been out of Connecticut for 20 years now, the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles on Tuesday unveiled a new commemorative license plate that bears the former hockey team's green and blue insignia. The plates are around $60. $45 from the sale of each plate will help benefit a new infusion and dialysis center at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center in Hartford. So it's kind of a win-win. Everything wins. And if you go to ESPN and you check it out and you see it, you can actually see a sample of it, or probably just Google Hartford Whaler license plate. It actually looks pretty cool.
I want one.
I know, seriously. That is one of the best logos of all time, the Hartford Whalers. I mean, you have... I love all the extinct NHL logos, though, right? You have Hartford Whalers, Colorado Rockies were a good one.
The Nordiques.
The Quebec Nordiques.
Remember, we had the Kansas City Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Seals swung and missed on theirs, but no, Hartford.
And yet Seals, one of the names that they're throwing up in Seattle,
yeah,
possibly.
The Seals could come back.
But they got
But Whalers is also up there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, or
Whales. The Seattle.
No.
The Kraken.
Kraken is there, too. But they said that they weren't going to bring the Seattle Totems back. That old
that was on
World
the list.
Hockey League. It was. I think I read yesterday that they got rid of that one, like, in the...
Well, I know if you go to Bodog right now, that actually that is the second favorite in the betting. Totems, yes.
Totems, yeah.
How do you logo the Kraken?
Just have a...
big giant squid.
There you go.
Devouring a boat.
Yes.
Do they throw Krakens on the ice instead of octopus?
that'd be awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to have you back tomorrow.
We got
to
love
some
that.
Ice cleanup to do.
All right, thanks, Connor, for joining us. We'll see you on AT&T Sportsnet tonight. Stick around. TC Martin, the doctor, is next, live from Sacramento.
Sack down.